Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Welcome back inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema. It is Friday, and it is always for the fans. But it is not a fan Friday, if that makes any sense, which is disappointing for at least one of our fans. Bryce Rossler sent us like 15 questions last night.
You got to save them all, because I see them. I saw them. I didn't get to read them all. But you got to save them all, because we gotta have like – basically a section dedicated to him next week for next week's Fan Friday.
Yeah, definitely appreciate all those questions, but we're going to talk Pac-12 football actually and preview the Pac-12, but now I think we might just store that one for the weekend and come back to it next week, because
fall has arrived at JCPenney, the perfect time to refresh your home. From now until Sunday, get up to 50% off select comforter sets, furniture, and the most comfortable mattresses from top brands like Tempur-Pedic, Sealy, Beautyrest, and more. And save 50 to 60% on select sheet sets, plus an extra 15% with your coupon on select home items. Hurry, end soon. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney. Coupon valid 9/28 to 10/9 on select home items, furniture, and mattresses. Prices valid 9/28 to 10/1. Selections vary by store while supplies last. On regular and original prices. Intermediate markdowns may have been taken. Some exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
We had so many fun, exciting performances by rookies last night, guys that we evaluated. So we thought, you know, letting it go until Monday to talk about those would, you know, be old hat at that point, and we'd already be on to talking about something new. And so we figured we might as well touch on them right away. But last night was fun, wasn't it? I mean, preseason action gets made fun of, I think, a lot, but I don't really know why, because it's enjoy. I mean, you get to see guys you scouted and evaluated, and I'm not saying that it's a indicator of, you know, great potential or great talent or anything like that, but I think it's fun. You get to see some translatable things from guys that you scouted that you may not get to see that much this season, just because the reality of the NFL is, you know, there's not space or time for everybody to play as a rookie. So I really enjoy it, because I get, that's the first look we get at these guys in the NFL action. And so I always look forward to it in that way. And man, the rookie quarterbacks did not disappoint, huh? Mitch Trubisky and DeShone Kizer showing up big last night.
Yeah. For sure. So I watched the Bears game almost in its entirety. I only saw clips of a bunch of the other ones, just because I wasn't watching on my computer, and NFL Network only had that Bears game on. So I got to see Glennon's first series, which, to his credit, he was going up against the first team. So I know the defense was much better. I mean, Denver's got a fantastic defense and all of that, but not great.
Two for eight for 20 yards and a pick six.
Not great. Yeah, second. I had tweeted this out last night in all caps, you know, just because I report on the Bucs down here in Tampa, and Glennon was obviously there. So Glennon has some interest getting his first start, even if it is preseason up in Chicago. And I tweeted, you know, in all caps, Mike Glennon on NFL Network right now. Had to have been like 8 seconds later, he throws the pick six. And so I just quote tweeted and say he already threw a pick six. And it was not a pretty pick six either. It wasn't like a
– no.
He just straight up just like over-cannoned the guy, like didn't know where he was going to be, throw it right to Chris Harris. But even his, like, his offensive linemen weren't great either. He was pressured the whole time, had a couple of bad snaps and some fumbles that he lost here and there. So not a great debut. And then it doesn't help that Trubisky looked as good as he did. Now, I will say this about Trubisky, and we'll get to going back and forth about him, what he did well last night, because he did a lot of things really well. But the more I watched it, and we say that, oh, it's against third and fourth stringers, so like take it easy. But at the same time, you know, like pinpoint ball placement,
right?
That
doesn't matter.
Translate, yeah. You know, like whether it's against what third stringers or first stringers, if you could throw the ball great on the run, like he was, if he could throw where it needs to go, all this kind of stuff. That's what you like about a QB, and that's the good things that you see. But I will say that he had like years to throw the ball, but the Denver's backup defensive line could not rush the pocket like at all. So I thought he did really good with what he was given, and that's what you want to see, right? I don't want to punish him for that, certainly. It's like, oh, the conditions are perfect. Of course he tore it up. Well, I mean, he still tore it up. You know, he still did exactly what you wanted him to do. So I don't know. What did you think about Trubisky? How about this? What did you think about him pre-draft? And then what did you think about last night?
Well, he was QB2 pre-draft, late first-round grade. And I thought that he needed – as I've said on here lots of times, I think I thought that he needed time to be before he was ready to step into a starting lineup in the NFL, ideally. But I also said there's no question he's the most talented quarterback in Chicago. So it's just a matter of when mentally he can handle everything you have to be able to handle to be a QB1 in the NFL. I mean, you go from a class load and playing football at North Carolina and doing all that and trying to handle all that. Now you have to game, you know, and prepare for an NFL game as a starter and defensive concepts and recognizing blitzes pre-snap and recognizing rolled coverages. And those are some things that he was up and down with. I mean, first year as a starter, UNC, not surprising, not really a huge negative in my mind because he was relatively inexperienced, but it was there. It was on tape. He didn't do always handle those things well. So it was just going to be a matter of how quickly could he pick those things up and acclimate himself to those things, which we still haven't seen because we don't have a defense that's like preparing for him per se. So I think that I thought he did do a really good job when there was blitzes last night, getting the ball, knowing where his hot was, knowing where pressure might come from. I really liked seeing that from him. I thought, honestly, with his performance last night, he did just about everything he could have done. I mean, some of his throws on the move were brilliant. Not only in terms of, you mentioned the ball placement, but the velocity that he gets on the move, I still think his arm was so undersold. You know, I think we kind of fell in love with Mahomes' arm and even Kaiser's arm to an extent. And Trubisky's arm, to me, for velocity, is just as good as Kaiser's anyway. Mahomes is just on a whole nother level, but that, you know, that goes without saying. We've compared his arm to Brett Favre, who might have the best arm of all time. So, you know, Trubisky, still an elite-level arm, in my opinion. I love the way that he throws the football, the spiral, the tightness of the motion and everything. I just thought he looked really clean the whole night. And the 3rd and 17 throw was the one that really stands out to me. I mean, he moved through progressions, stayed calm in the pocket, didn't try and escape too early or do too much or anything, and threw an anticipation pass on this little dig route to receiver as he was moving to the zones, just threw it to the zone and trusted his guy to be there. That's a good understanding of route progressions and you know, the quick trigger to just, boom, I'm going to throw this before the guy's out of his break to convert a 3rd and 17 into a really tight window. I mean, I couldn't fault the coverage there. He just made a perfect throw, and that was a big boy throw. I thought he did some really, really good things last night, and I honestly thought he had the best debut of any of the rookie quarterbacks. And I know Watson's my boy, obviously, but I thought Trubisky looked the best of any of the rookie quarterbacks that we've seen so far.
Well, we still got Mahomes to go. So,
that's true. Yep.
So Mahomes could throw.
And Davis Webb and Josh Dobbs. Come on, dude.
Okay. So, all right. So we've still got Mahomes to go. And I'm actually excited to see Josh Dobbs just because I think, you know,
he's going to start. You know, he's starting.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he's because Landry Jones is banged up and Ben's not going to play. So, yeah, so he'll be out there. I'm sure he won't see a ton of starters, but he'll see some, I bet.
Yeah, but okay, so if those two guys are out, is he basically playing the whole game?
He'll probably play most of the game. Bart Houston, you'll get a nice little treat to be able to see Bart Houston throw the ball probably into the ground.
But Bart Houston is a fake coach name from the 1970s.
That's actually pretty accurate. That is a very 1970s coach name. I'm a little mad I didn't think of that first.
So anyways, yeah, I'm actually excited to see Dobbs and Mahomes. But no, I agree with you on Trubisky. I think that we did overlook his arm a little bit, but his velocity, certainly, what you were talking about, velocity on throws, maybe he can't push it forever down the field. His downfield potential is fine.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think we just get spoiled by guys like Mahomes and Kaiser. But in terms of velocity, which is very important, you know, zipping the ball into where it needs to go is very important. And Trubisky definitely showed that he had a lot of that. I'm really interested to see what he does against ones. I really hope they give him a chance to do that. At least in week two, because I know week three is when the starters play the most reps. So I don't know if they're going to give him that week. Because naturally you would just think in your head, okay, well, next week we'll see what he does again, and if he does good again, then they'll bump him up week three. But the problem with week three is that it's like the quote-unquote like starters week, because they want to give you the extra right. 2 weeks if any starters get like dinged up to come back for week one. So I just wonder if they're going to give him that week three maybe we'll possibly see them do a little flip for week two and he gets to go against the ones. I think that's only smart because let's face it, it's the same thing that was with Houston the night before. One of those quarterbacks was – it was blatantly obvious they would give you the better chance to win a football game. And it was Deshaun Watson.
Right.
And last night, I know it was against different level competition, but just as a whole, one of those quarterbacks looked like they could give you a chance to win a football game, and it wasn't Mike Glennon. So if that's the case, why wouldn't you take the chance? You know, I understand coaches are like, oh, experience, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. We'll see with him, but I was pretty pleased with
him. Well, the same thing in Cleveland, right? I mean, there was no question. Brock Osweiler looked ridiculous for a little while, 6 of 14, I think he was, for 40-some yards. And then Kessler gets in there, and he was under a ton of duress. I will give him that. But, you know, Kizer was clearly the best quarterback out there for Cleveland. And I don't care who he was playing against. Think about who he's playing with as well during that time. So he's playing with a bunch of inexperienced guys. But I thought he was excellent. You know, there were things I would have liked to see him do better. But his movement in the pocket was his number one thing for me in college. I thought it was so good. You know, that if he had I thought he had a chance just because of his pocket presence and his movement in the pocket, ability to just kind of, with his feet, avoid pressure, work to a little bit of space, buy that extra second, and get a pass downfield. If he could clean up some of the mechanical things, that was his best strength. And his passes down the field weren't perfect, but twice he maneuvered the pocket and made, you know, fairly nice throws, given the pressure that he was under and the fact that he had to reset quickly downfield for touchdowns, or for near touchdowns. One was just short of the goal line, I think. And the second, a 45-yard touchdown pass to Jordan Payton, who I loved also 2 years ago coming out, what ended up being the win. I just was super impressed with the poise that he showed. It got me excited because his arm looked great and the mechanics were still an issue at times. I think he's going to have to brush that up because when he is under more pressure, he's going to resort back to some of the mistakes that he made in the past. But I think you had to be encouraged by what you saw from Kizer. And I don't think that Kizer's per se ready to start week one or anything like that. But I know that Brock Osweiler is not, I mean, you could say ready, whatever term you want to use. Mentally, maybe there. He is not a good quarterback. So you're going to have to wrestle with that because
if Kizer has confidence, I would have a hard time not starting him.
Yeah, that's
because that was our thing with Kizer, right? He was great. He had a lot of the tools, but the mentality, you know, like him basically just getting mentally beat up by Brian Kelly all the time. It was kind of a worry of what he was getting. But like, if Kizer is confident and he's on a roll, I mean, I'd probably roll with it.
And this isn't an offensive line that's going to get him murdered and beat. You know what I mean? This group has gotten a lot better. You know, they put a lot of money into making sure this group was better and that they could protect Kizer. And I thought he played really, really well. I thought he maneuvered the pocket really well. He worked through progressions a couple times. There were a couple throws. Again, he has this issue where he doesn't bring his trail foot around. And so, like, his throwing motion doesn't really complete itself, and the ball dips on him a lot. Like, there were a lot of, like, low driven throws to the sideline that start off with great velocity, and you're like, holy crap, it's coming out of his arm with zip, and then they just dip really fast. You'll see that a lot with Kizer. So the mechanical issues, I think, are still there, but if he fixes those, he's making throws with those issues because his arm's so good. So I don't know. I continue to look at this quarterback class and just be really hopeful, and yesterday's performance only kind of reinforced
that. It was fun, man.
To me.
It was really fun.
It wasn't just quarterbacks, was it? I mean,
I was gonna say let's get some, I don't know, like outside the box, some sleeper. Who was your favorite like rookie who did something over the last 2 days who you were like, heck yeah, like not
I thought,
a quarterback?
See, there's always this always happens every single freaking year. It was Thomas Rawls a couple years ago. There's always one running back out of the gazillion that are out there that I don't get to pre-draft. And then they end up catching my eye. And D'Angelo Henderson was that guy for Denver. Man, I thought he was great last night.
He moved really well.
He had 7 carries for 54 yards and a 41-yard touchdown. And he had, I think, 2 carries called back due to penalty that were really nice runs. He was really, really impressive.
Tariq Cohen looked good.
Yeah, he did some nice things. He has that bounce to the outside. A couple times the force defender just kind of folded and he just bounced outside and it was easy. He's got that scoot ability. I'd love to see his vision between the tackles a little more. But yeah, he was impressive last night. He had 7 carries for 39 yards. How about Derek Barnett, though? I mean, this is exciting because I don't know if you saw, but he had 2 sacks.
I didn't get to see any of them.
Yeah, he had 2 sacks and he was working on Jason Spriggs pretty good, which I'm not a big Spriggs guy, but man, to be in your first NFL action and not start or anything, and you'll play only a certain period of time and get two sacks, I don't care, man. That's impressive. And especially because he was dominating on a regular basis. It wasn't just like any fluke plays. Like the first sack, he kind of bull rushed Spriggs and hit an inside move on him. And that was, remember, we talked about Barnett had that one move in college, and it was kind of like that cornering move. He just tried to win the edge. He didn't have counters. He didn't use speed to power as well as he should have. So if he's been working hard on that counter, remember, he was one of the youngest guys. We thought about him as a veteran because he was like first place in Tennessee history in sacks and everything, but he only played 3 years. He was a true junior. He had like double-digit sacks every year. So he's still like, I think he's like 21 years old now. So he's one of the younger players in the draft. He's still got a lot of time to grow and work on his craft. And while he'll never be the most explosive guy, there's enough power in his frame, hand usage in his frame to make himself some trimmer angles. And I just think he can be a good player still. And that's why I had that early second round grade on him. I know a lot of people didn't like him, but it was kind of like, for me, it was like, yes, he only has one move now, but I feel like given the guy's work ethic, his passion, his physicality.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
There was no reason to think he wouldn't eventually incorporate other things in, which is the risk you were taking if you took him as early as Philadelphia did. You were hoping he could develop more to his pass rush game. But I don't know. I was really impressed by him as well.
Yeah, I didn't get to see him. But one guy I did get to see, my boy, Demoryius Stringfellow.
Oh,
with
my
99 yard touchdown.
I thought of you when he caught that ball. I was like, oh, Trevor's going to be going, hey,
my boy. I saw a couple of tweets and they're just like, Stringfellow this, Stringfellow that. And I was like, oh my God, what did he do? And then I had to like wait a couple minutes for somebody to post the video. And I was just like screaming watching the video just because I've liked this guy for so long when he was at Ole Miss. I even liked him the previous year when he was doing stuff with Chad Kelly. And then this year he was kind of the featured dude. That route was just, I don't know who blew the coverage there, but
it was like David Fowles had a freaking great throw, which
was perfect. But like the safety was so late to help over the middle if there was supposed to be any. And by the time they got there, he just put him, you know, in a spin cycle. And
that was a great run after the catch.
To the house. Hey, look, dude, man, he's huge and he runs really well. Yeah. And sometimes, like his hands, he can sometimes have some really nice catches. So that's why I was super high on that guy and him making that highlight play in his first game. I was just like, heck yeah. Everybody needs to know his name because it's hard to pronounce, which is fun to watch people try to pronounce his name. And then I think he's really talented too. He had a Pokemon Nike Pro Combat like leggings on when he ran his pro day.
Oh,
like,
wow.
You can't not love him. Can't not love him.
There were a bunch of rookie wide receivers showing out yesterday. I mean, D'Angelo Yancey, the Purdue kid, 3 catches for 67 yards over in Green Bay.
I didn't see any of him, man.
Yeah. I didn't actually catch much of his performance either, but I saw Matt Collins.
Malachi get hit?
What's that?
Did you see Malachi get hit?
I did see Dupree get lit up, yes. Which was kind of a bummer because I heard he was having a good camp. I wasn't a big Dupree guy, but he was better.
I wasn't either.
He was better than Dupree.
And it was a clean hit, too.
Yeah.
Like, he just rocked.
Right.
And it wasn't even like when I was reading all the stuff, because I didn't get the Packer game. So when I was reading, like, yo, Malachi Dupree is, like, down on the field. He's not getting up. I was like, holy cow, did he get blasted over the middle? But it really wasn't even like a conflict of momentum. He just got rocked. I guess kind of like a shoulder to the head kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe hit his head when he got to the ground and
it was kind of a he should have seen the hit coming kind of deal, I felt like.
A little bit, you know, and he was already like lower to the ground. It was just it was a fast, violent hit by the safety. But apparently, you know, when they put him in the stretcher, I haven't read anything as of when we're taping this podcast, which is Friday morning. But, you know, like he gave the crowd the thumbs up and everything. And he tweeted later, he's like, I'm going to be okay. So that was good. But on a much more sad note, Raekwon McMillan, man.
That's a bummer.
Tears his ACL on a punt coverage thing.
I feel like we got to have like a pour one out moment for like all the rookies who go down.
Man,
on this podcast especially.
Sucks. Yeah. You know what's crazy though? Raekwon will be 21 years old at the start of next season.
Oh, really? I didn't know he was that young.
He's 20.
Holy
yes.
crap. He's like the second youngest guy then because Juju Smith-Schuster, yes. were they like the youngest too?
Yeah.
Why do I not remember that about Raekwon?
Because you're not as good at this as I am. I don't know how else to say it.
Matt Collins also had a big day. Just moving on. He had like four catches for 64 yards and a great run after catch touchdown against the Packers.
Rodney Adams trying to put Rodney Adams at my neck.
He literally added you with that touchdown. Did you see his celebration dance? He like tied his hair like you tie yours up in that little bun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
And he gave the choke sign.
That's right. D.D. Westbrook had a 42-yard touchdown. Really nice play for Jacksonville.
Smoked Cyrus Jones. Yes. Just smoked him.
By the way, Cyrus Jones on that chopping block, right? With Belichick, he might be gone tomorrow or today. You never know, man. I mean, he got toasted a good bit yesterday.
Didn't get on the plane.
Yeah. A couple second-year guys caught my Yannick Ngakoue had another sack last night. There were a couple other second-year guys that I was like, okay, I'm getting excited. Bryce Treggs had a really nice performance for the Eagles, a little speedy wide receiver. I love to see just any of the young players do well. Like, I just do. Like, guys that I – even if I wasn't that high on them, you know, like, I thought Kaiser needed more time. I don't care, man. I was geeked to see him do well. Under the radar guy who did really well yet again and has played well
in the
regular season and has played well whenever he's gotten a chance in preseason – Jimmy Garoppolo, man, like he's good. I don't care. I know it's preseason, but he's a good football player.
No, he's good.
He's playing against some ones out there.
I don't know what you had on him, but I had a second round grade on him. He's good.
Yeah,
you know,
I think he can be good if he ever gets a chance to start. I just hope he gets that chance.
Will.
Yeah,
I hope he does. Oh, speaking of in that game though, that Austin Carr kid.
Oh, by the way, I made it like a joke on Twitter that he was like the 18th white wide receiver, and apparently he's biracial, so he's not actually – he looks wide. Someone said that to me. They covered him, I guess, but I was like, what? I didn't even know that, but I didn't know they had enough room for more white wide receivers on this roster, but now he's got a chance.
And I don't – like, I don't know where he is on the depth chart. I haven't been following him at all. I don't know what he's doing. All I did was saw that one touchdown catch where, one, he burned the crap out of the guy at the back of the end zone with a double move, and two – he vertical jumped what seems to be 55 inches in the air
to
catch that ball.
55 inches exactly?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it had to be. dude, the hang time that he got there. And the only reason I'm bringing that up is because he's a fantasy sleeper of mine now. And I know none of my friends care enough about me to listen to this podcast that I do. So everybody else who I'm not in a fantasy football league with, there you go. Watch out for him. If he gets more playing time or whatever, he's a hyper-athletic, small, shifty, like Patriots kind of wide receiver, but has way more upside than a lot of the guys that we have seen come through there. So,
and it's interesting because I heard from a number of people during the pre-draft process that Carr was a good player, should be drafted, yada, 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 you know, ideal day three target guy. But I just – again, he was one of the guys that just never got around to actually scouting. Because all of the other jobs I was working and such at the time, it made it difficult to get to everybody. But I think he has a legit chance based on people that I trust that really like him and what I saw yesterday. I mean, Chris Hogan, Julian Edelman, Brandon Cooks, Malcolm Mitchell, those may be your top four. I don't think it's out of the question to think Danny Amendola could get cut for a guy who's a younger, more explosive version of him. I mean, I think that is absolutely on the table. I think Carr could be competing with Devin Lucien as well, who I liked a little bit out of Arizona State, I believe, in 2016 draft. And then, of course, Matt Slater, special teams god, is going to have spot two, you would think. So they got some competition there for sure, but I don't think it's out of the question to think that Carr makes this roster, even if playing time may be tough to come by if he's wide receiver, you know, four or five, might be five best case scenario if they keep Chris Hogan as well. So, but I think Malcolm Mitchell, Julian Edelman, and Brandon Cooks are the top three there, but yeah, it's not out of the question. He played well, and it wasn't just that catch, which was outstanding. And the hang time was, I mean, yeah, I don't know if it was 55 inches exactly or not, but the hang time was at least 10 seconds, I think, in the air. No more, no less. What's this Corey Grant guy? Oh, he's in his third season. I didn't even realize that, but he lit it up for Jacksonville yesterday. I was like, who is – I've watched him a little bit before. I didn't realize he was in his third year already. I thought he was a second-year guy, but he had a 79-yard touchdown run. He had 8 carries for 120 yards. There was another guy that played running back for Jacksonville yesterday. I can't remember his name. Leonard something. Five net. He had 9 carries for 31 yards, and he scored.
Good.
He scored. He looked fine, yeah. I thought people were like – oh my gosh, look at Leonard Fournette get this 3rd-and-1 carry. I was like, well, it's, you know, wide open hole, an A gap. So I was like, but, you know, people are just trying to get excited about Fournette. I was like, it wasn't his fault. He just didn't, you know, there wasn't really that one play. There was one play where he hit a spin move he didn't really need to hit. And I was like, people are like, look at this spin. I was like, it didn't fake anyone out. You know, it wasn't like he needed to use it. But, you know, people trying to get hyped for Fournette. I get it. He's going to be good. He's going to be very good there. I heard Cam Robinson played well also, which I didn't get a chance to see him. But I will be obviously watching that one closely as he was my he was my OT1. So who else? What other rookies before we wrap it up? Jahlil Johnson had a sack.
He did.
Which is good because I didn't see the sack, so it may have been just like cleanup stuff. But
no, he bullied his dude to get there. Good. No, it was a good sack.
He's a power player. That's how he's going to get sacks if he gets them.
I feel like that was about it for last night. We got another whole other slate of young dudes coming up. So
both of our teams open their season tonight, man. Bucks, yep. Steelers, right around the same time.
I'm really, really hoping that nobody gets hurt. Yes. That's it. That's all I care about right. The entire preseason. Just don't get hurt.
If everybody sucks, I am completely fine with it. As long as it's just in the preseason and they don't get hurt. That's the main thing. Yeah, I am excited to get to tonight's games for several reasons, but we get to see Mahomes, right? He's playing tonight, right?
Do any of them start early or late?
No, there's only three games. The Steelers and Giants are at 7. Bucks and Bengals are at 7:30. 49ers and Chiefs are at 9. So we have to wait till 9 to see Mahomes. These are Eastern times. I'm excited to see. I've seen the Pittsburgh guys some, but I really think Juju Smith-Schuster is going to put on a nice performance. I'm excited to watch Wayne Gallman and Paul Perkins for the Giants, that running back battle. Two guys that I like probably more than most coming out, so I'm excited to watch both of those guys. I'm really excited to watch the Carl Lawson show in Cincinnati, a guy at a first-round grade on who went fourth round, who's been tearing it up in camp. That's obviously kind of a big deal.
Actually, I'm really excited to see Cincinnati guys too, mm-hmm. and I'm kind of glad that I get to watch that whole game pretty intently. I mean, I'm pretty eager to see how Mixon does because, I mean, he felt like the most talented running back in the entire class last year. And so, like, now that he is drafted and we don't worry about draft spot and we now know where he is, like, it is just about him playing. And so we will see how he performs. I'm excited to see how he does there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously excited to see the Bucs guys. You know, I think it's going to be a slower start for OJ Howard than maybe his draft spot would indicate. But I think eventually he's going to be a really good player.
Excited
to see Chris Godwin. I'm excited to even see Jordan Willis.
Godwin's going to tear it up.
Godwin is good. I'm excited to see that. For the 49ers Chiefs game, obviously bated breath to see Mahomes. I can't wait. I'm probably going to have the Steelers game on my TV, the Bucks Bengals game on my computer on my laptop, and then right around that 9 o'clock start for the KC, I'm going to have to switch one of them over because I got to see Mahomes start things off.
Mahomes is going to start, is he?
No, probably not. Well, I don't know. Is Alex Smith?
I mean, you might have until like 10, which the other game's going to be over by then, anyways.
Is Mahomes pulling second team reps? He better be.
Yeah, I don't. Tyler Bray and Joel Stave
are pulling reps over Patty Mahomes.
I was told he was a third string guy right now. But
freaking way.
Oh. I mean, like, that's how it has to be, though. Either Mahomes is the starter or he's the third string dude. It's one or the other. You can't. The game plan is nowhere near similar for those guys. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my goodness.
So, like, either he starts or he's, like, non-existent. You can't run this like dink and dunk.
You mentioned Alex a good point, thing. But I don't care because I'm trying to see my boy Patty against at least second stringers. But
We might.
Well, Patty Mahomes, I'm looking forward to seeing. I'm looking forward to watching. But also, man, I mean, I think the second best is Reuben Foster playing tonight? I heard he's healthy. He's full go, right?
I mean, as long as he doesn't yell at any hospital workers, probably.
I'm trying to see him and Solomon Thomas just get after it, man.
I'm gonna retweet his video from Alabama right now, so everybody can see it and just say reminder that Reuben Foster is playing tonight, and then you'll be able to see it again at Cower in Fear.
Because it's the most terrifying video
I've ever seen.
I'll retweet that. So yeah, get yourselves amped up for tonight's game. Next week we'll talk about Pac-12. Promise, we're not going to slight you guys on the West Coast. I know you always feel like you're getting slighted by big media. We are big media, I guess, at this point, right? Podcast growing, so we won't slight you guys. Pac-12, you're going to get yours. Don't worry. And then we'll come in next week hot after the Pac-12 takes, and we've got positional rankings. We got to fire through. I don't know, man. Are you ready for that? These positional rankings, your QB thoughts? born out for ready. The world to see. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see about that. I've got some people are going to literally probably stop listening to the podcast after they hear my QB takes. So just prepare yourself for that. But we'll be back early next week. Make sure you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.